Yes, we talked about children obeying your parents. Kids love that one. We talked about wives submitting unto your own husbands. Husbands love that one. We talked about husbands loving your wives. I'm not sure who likes that one. I'm sure wives do. And all of it we learned was because our hearts are set to do what God wants. Submitting one to another, loving each other. Doing it for God, not for glory. And then we talked about children, and then we talked about the servants. Those of you that are employees, obeying and doing right and being so honest and so Christ-like in your everyday job. And then we talked about employers, masters. Some of you have people that work for you or even under you, however you say it. And we talked about how we need to remember that our master is above us. Remember how he treats us and we treat others that way. Submitting unto one another in all things in the Lord. And now he says this, finally, my brothers, verse 10, be strong in the Lord. That's what we want for you. We study through the Bible verse by verse so that you will be strengthened. It will strengthen you to know God's Word and to listen to and by the power of His Spirit do God's Word. You will be strengthened in the inner man, in the inner woman. And he tells us this finally as he's going to close his letter now. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. To be strong, it literally means be being strengthened daily. Continually be strengthened. Stay in the Word. Walk with fellow believers. Fellowship together. Find yourself a good fellowship where you can fit in and worship and praise and study and you can encourage one another. And someone will look at you and go, well, where were you last week? So that you're not just out there wandering. You're holding each other accountable. Not in meanness, not to be over, but submitting one to another saying, hey, come on, man, it looks like you're falling back. When I was in the police academy, we would run 7 and 12 miles. Now, why 7 and 12? Wouldn't you think it would be 7 and 8? Or 7 and 9? Or 7 and 9 and 11? But no, 7 and 12. I don't know why. And you're carrying just so much weight on your belt. So much, about 25 pounds. So when we would get down to do push-ups, your arms would work, your shoulders would go, and your feet would go, but everything in the middle stayed on the ground. 25 pounds, you're doing push-ups trying to lift all this weight up with you. Because you got to carry bazookas and knives and chains and so that you can give Ma and Pa Kettle a ticket for going to church too fast on Sundays. You know, so, you know, you understand why you're carrying all this stuff. And I remember one specific time running, jogging with all this equipment on, singing the dumbest songs, and there are 40 men and women, where there are a few girls, 3 girls we had in our police academy, and we're running along, you're carrying your baton in your hand, and you're running, and after about 7 or 8 miles, you're starting to think, man, this belt is so heavy. And I remember just thinking it. It was almost like a prayer. I was saying, Lord, I feel okay, but I almost feel like I need to quit. I'm starting to be, now I was in shape back then, but I almost feel like I need to quit. I don't know how much further I can go. It's super hot. Las Vegas does get warm at certain times of the year, like from January through December mostly, but it was so warm. And I remember kind of like talking to the Lord, not out loud, but saying, Lord, I need some strength. Another brother in the police academy, another Christian, no words were spoken. I'm running and sweating. He came up next to me. He ran up next to me and he grabbed my belt. And all he did was hold my belt. We're running along. He goes, how you doing? I don't know how he knew. Maybe I was a funny color. I don't know. But all he did was grab my belt. And I want you to know something. Just someone holding my belt, it was like 25 pounds had been lifted off my body. And it was just like I got new strength. Go. Someone came along and just held on to my belt. I couldn't believe the difference. There was strength that came from somewhere else. I could not believe the change in how I felt that quickly. And so I remembered it the rest of the academy. And so I would come along. I didn't do this to the girls because they'd shoot you. But I'd come along to the guys, Christian or not, and I'd run up behind them and grab the belt as we're running. And I just say, how you feel? Pretty good, man. Okay. And just hold that belt for maybe half a mile. And let it go. And gosh, they're good for another 2 or 3 miles. And you're running 11 miles and everybody's making it to the end. Pretty soon, Christian, non-Christian alike are all, every once in a while they run up and they just grab your belt. I don't know how somebody knew that made all the difference on the earth, but we were being strengthened right then and there, all the time, constantly. That's what the Word of God means. You be being strengthened daily, having inner power. Well, let me read it to you out of the King James. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. They're running along and your weight is too much for you and you're thinking, I'm going to have to drop out. I don't think I can go. And all of a sudden, there's extra strength. It's God. Are you staying in the Word? Are you remaining in fellowship? Now, people think pastors teach this because they're trying to build a big church. No, we can't afford a big church. We can't afford that kind of luxury or time. Our goal is to make you strong in the Lord so that you can begin to be so healthy in Jesus that you're running alongside someone else holding the belt, just holding it. Just for a little while, half a mile, not long, enough that I can get a few more breaths and save some strength, and now I'm good. Thank you for that strength that came from nowhere. God is with you and He is holding you. Be being strengthened daily. Stay in the Word. Stay in fellowship. Don't wander. Some of you are looking for a church home. I don't know where that is. You're welcome to stay. But if you say, I need to wander and look further, well then look. But find some place soon and become solid in it so that you can begin to grab the belt of someone else. But by that I mean, remember to pray for them. I'm not talking about running really and grabbing their belt. You could get arrested in some cities for that. But the point is, God is strengthening you. Get locked in. Remain strong. You hear it all the time. I don't need to go to church. Yes, you do. You have an amazing need to go to church. So do I. I get out of it so easily and I'm out there on my own and I'm floundering and I'm the only one who doesn't recognize it. People go, look at Bob, man. He's hurting. He needs to get back into fellowship. I'm fine out here. I'm as close to the Lord on this mountain peak as I am there in that pew. Well, of course you are. The question wasn't the distance. The question was the fellowship, the intimate koinonia. That's always the question. And you and I are commanded. He's starting to speak like a sergeant now. Instead of saying, I beg you, he's saying, finally, brothers, you be continually being strong. Or being having daily strengthening. In the power of God. This is God's power that we're dealing with, not our own. Put on the whole armor of God. Remember this. Now remember this before we go on. The armor is God's. You put on the armor of God. It's provided by Him. It works His way. And I know that some of us are like David. Someone will look at you and come up with that spiritual saying. I hear this very often. Well, brother. Oh, here it comes. When they call you brother. Have you put on the armor today? Come on. Come on. Listen. David was little. Probably 14 to 15 years old. And he went to fight Goliath. And what happened right before he went out to fight? They put Saul's armor on him. Now, who was Saul? King. And how big was he? Well, you know from the Bible that he was head and shoulders over everybody else. If all of Israel stood in a line, he was that much over them all. He was big, tall, good looking. David was 14 to 15. He was little. The Bible says red-headed, scrawny, scruffy. Not a warrior. Now you put the armor on that guy and what happens? The Bible says he tried to move and he couldn't even move. Never mind walk. It was too heavy, too big. I don't know how to use this armor. This is Saul's armor. And so you look at somebody And we don't even know where their heart is. You say, have you put the armor on? Listen, you try to put God's armor on somebody who doesn't belong to Him, they will not be able to function if they could get it on in the first place. David said, I can't move in this equipment. He had to take it off and go out with a sling. You need to be in Jesus Christ. You need to accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. No games. Jesus, I want you in my life. No holding back, none of this, well, I'll get saved when I'm old and I'm bored. No, today is the day of salvation. This may be my last day here. And if it is, I need to be sure that I belong to Jesus. Be being strengthened daily. Every day. Constantly. And put on God's armor, the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand, isn't that what it says? Against the tricks or the conniving of the devil. So that you can stand in battle. And that's what we're talking about, battle, spiritual warfare. Romans, write this down, Romans 13, 11 through 14. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed, or than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. It's about time. We sang the song, Jesus will be here soon. He says, we say, Lord, come quickly. And He says, soon. Now, soon is pretty soon. I don't know the day or the hour. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on the armor. Put on Jesus. You must be born again. Are you? Can you say it? I have asked Jesus into my life. I have. As sincerely as I knew how, or as I know how, I asked Him to come into my heart and to make me a Christian. Have you said it? Have you asked Him? Or do you think that because you're born in America, you are saved? It doesn't work that way. And I say it many times. Just because your cat has kittens in the oven, that doesn't make them muffins. They're still kittens. Being American isn't being Christian. Being European isn't being Christian. To be a Christian is to belong to Jesus Christ, to have said to Him yes and to have given your life over. 2 Corinthians, you can write this one also. Another scripture you can see is 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. There it is, in the power of God. But mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, listen, bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Now, someone has asked me, what does it mean to bring into captivity every thought? What it means, literally, is to make sure the way I'm thinking is according to the Word of God. And we'll talk about that a little further on. Our minds are to be controlled by what God's Word says, not by what we are thinking or by what we are feeling. Make sense? So I'm bringing in every thought captive. Lord, I think I should run here. I better run. And then God's Word says, stand fast and see the power of God. I feel like running. I think I'm in trouble. Be still and know that I'm God. Have you been in situations to where you think, uh-oh, and all of a sudden Scripture comes to your memory? And you're thinking, well, where did that come from? I just don't think. And sometimes, listen to this, this probably happens to you. If it doesn't, you'll see what kind of person I really am. I'll be in a situation and all of a sudden a verse from nowhere shows up and I think, Now, where did that come from? I'll see something and a verse will pop into my head that seemingly has nothing to do with anything in the world, and I think, I am cracking up. I'm losing it. But it's God reminding me about what He had to say. And if I will stop and listen, He'll fill me in on the details. He will. He always does. You don't fight your flesh. It is an enemy, remember? But according to Scripture, you do not fight your flesh. And I think maybe this will help some of you to get your walk a little more stable, because you're fighting with your flesh. I think we ought to go do this. Oh, I don't think so. That's bad. Oh, come on. It's not bad. Come on. I'm free in Jesus. You better stop it. I'm telling somebody. Oh, knock it off. You're going to tell nobody. You're me. And of course you stop because somebody walks by. Oh, hello. Oh, yeah. Now you're nice. Wow. Gee, yeah. Wow. Oh, shut up. That's why people don't want to get saved. They've been watching you. That girl's fighting with herself. I think she's going to hurt herself. We better step in. You do not fight your flesh. Listen closely. You reckon your flesh dead. Isn't that true? Isn't that scriptural? Galatians 2:24, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am crucified with Him. Baptism, you're buried and risen again. That's a symbol of what has taken place. I don't fight with this flesh. I consider it dead. If I would do that more often, I would have victory more often. But instead, I fight with it. We argue. Spiritual warfare. Don't you love God's timing? All right, I will go soon on a short trip, be gone just a few days, come back with a tan. You will be hit just as hard as I, but probably in different ways, because you are entering into the same battlefield, into the same experience. You will enter in by prayer. And spiritual warfare will begin. And some of you have told me it's begun already. And it's not something you can fight with in the natural way. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It doesn't work. Prayer. So first, you be strong. Isn't that what it says? Be being strengthened daily. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Lean on Him. Trust in Him. Who cares what gets thrown at you? I'll show you in a minute how to stop that. Stand. So that you can stand against the tricks of the devil. To stand means to be fixed, to remain firm, to hold ground. In a battle situation, once you've taken this amount of ground, you stand firm. We will not give this ground up, but now we are about to take more. But what we have belongs to God. These are God's, and no, we don't give up this ground. We stand firm. It's a spiritual fight. Sometimes you don't see it that way, and that's how you get taken out easily, knocked flat. But we stand firm. He says this, I'll read it to you again. Put on the whole armor of God, remember it's God's armor, that you may be able to stand, hold the ground that you've gotten. Don't sin. Don't turn. When the spiritual attacks come, you are able to stand against them without falling back into that sin, back into the things, and giving up ground. Don't give up the ground. Stand firm, he says, against the tricks of the devil. Joshua. Way back in the book of Joshua. They're in the land, and God said, do not make any league or any covenants with anyone in the land. And the people tricked him. Do you remember the trick? They got old wineskins that made them look really a lot older. They wrecked up shoes like they had been traveling for months and months and months. Remember, they took bread and got it real moldy and stuck it in their packs. They rolled around in the dirt, scratched themselves up like they had been on a long, long, long journey from far, far away. They were lying. It was a trick. They came to Joshua and said, we want to make a deal with you. And he says, where are you from? And if you read the Bible, they don't tell where they're from. They say, we come from a country far away. Come on, Joshua, ask him what the name of the country is. He forgets. Well, what do you want? Well, we just want to make a deal with you. We want to make a league with you. We want you to not attack us. We won't attack you because we know your God is powerful. They were people that lived about 4 miles away. But they made themselves look like, sound like, and act like they had been traveling for months and months and months. They were about to starve. Look, all our bread's bad. Everything's bad. Gosh, we're glad we found you when we did, when they live across the street. So make a deal with us. Make a covenant with us. And Joshua did. And God says, oh, Joshua, I told you not to do that. What? Those guys live across the street. They're not from far away. They're right here. I told you, make no league, no covenants with anyone in this country, and you have broken my command. Oh my gosh, they fooled him. But you, on the other hand, if you were standing in the armor of God, standing firm, holding the ground, don't lose ground, don't backslide, don't go back on the things you already know, standing firm, you will not be tricked when they come in with moldy bread and ruined shoes, and all out of water, and the wineskins and all. You won't be fooled. You'll say, oh, no, no, no. No, God has commanded me. No. You'll stand against the tricks that the devil throws at you. And here is the equipment Paul's going to talk about. You guys are talking too much. I'm going to have to really speed up here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember, I told you, you're not going to fight your flesh. And you're not going to fight the flesh of other people. Although, when you do fight him, you're going to remember where the real enemy is. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Some versions may say heavenly places. We have been given almost a hierarchy of the demons. The generals, the commanding officers, then the sergeants and the corporals and the privates, or whatever, however you like to put it. You've got different sorts of powers that you and I are dealing with on a spiritual realm. Some of those powers are so strong, when the angel Gabriel comes to talk to Daniel, he says, it took me 3 weeks to get here, 21 days. What have you been doing? I've been fasting and praying the whole time. It took 21 days to get here. How come? I had to fight my way through the prince of Persia. Was he talking about some big powerful prince who runs? No, he's talking about a demon. The demon, one of the powers over that land. The spirits, the demons, and the angels fought, and it took 21 days for the angel to get through. He says, now I've given you the message. I'm going to go back and continue to fight. Man, if the curtain was pulled back and you could see what's going on in the spiritual realm, you would be shocked at the battle that's going on out there each time you get down and pray. Wow. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. By the way, heavenly places, you'll read in your commentaries or in your dictionaries or whatever you might use. Heavenly places. The heavenlies, the planets, the stars. That's interesting to me when the Bible specifically says some of those angels hang out around the planets. So, everybody's looking to Mars. We'll see what's there, huh? I am convinced anything you see that is UFO in nature is demonic activity. I'm convinced of it according to Scripture, but who cares what I am convinced of? Jesus is coming. Wherefore? Because of that now, because you know you're not wrestling. Don't try to fight this on your own. Because you know you're not wrestling flesh and blood, take unto you the whole armor of God. The whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Third time, withstand, stand, stand. Holding ground. Don't come to Jesus and then give up ground. You continue to walk with God. You continue to trust Him. Don't make this a game of back and forth. Stay in the Word. Stay in fellowship. Listen to Him and grow. Stand, therefore, once again. Having your loins girt about with truth. There's that belt I was talking about. Girt means the belt, and the belt is how all the equipment was held together on a Roman soldier's armor. The belt. You'd put it on first, and everything would attach to it. You'd have the sword there, the small sword, the big old thing that they would swing, you know, they called it a broad sword. Some of them carried the huge wide thing. All of it on their belt. Almost as a police officer, where you carry all that stuff, where you can get to it quickly around your waist. The belt of what? Truth. Truth holds all the rest together. Jesus says the truth will set you free. And then He said this, I am the truth. Didn't He? You're going to see all this armor. All this armor points to Jesus. All of it points to Jesus. You must have Jesus Christ in your life if you're going to stand and be strong in this day and age. Every thought you're taking into captivity. Truth has to deal with a lot of things. Our minds are to be controlled with God's Word. You put on the belt of truth. Stick with what you know to be truth. Don't get off into anything. Some have gotten off and they've ended up shipwrecked. This vain jangling Paul tells Timothy about, 2 Timothy there, they're shipwrecked. The truth, you've got to remain with it. How are you going to know it? You've got to read your Bible. You've got to read it. You say it's boring. I haven't found boring parts. I have found parts. I haven't got a clue what they mean. But that doesn't make it boring just because I don't understand it. It's not boring. We're going through the Old Testament on Friday nights. And those of you that think the Old Testament is boring, visit with us. Not because I'm teaching it and it's so great, but because all you have to do is read it for the first time in your life slowly, and you're going to be amazed at what's in there. It is not boring. It's a thrill. And it applies to my life today. And it really helps me to see what's going on around me. Take on the whole armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So, the belt of truth holds everything together, and the breastplate of righteousness, it covers the heart. The breastplate would cover the entire front, and they would call it the protection for your heart, as the Roman soldiers would call it. Now, when you think about your heart, also, you're not only thinking of a physical heart, but you're thinking about a conscience. You know, your heart, that's where people can get to. Your conscience, things are going wrong. The Lord's righteousness is ours in Jesus Christ. If you accept Jesus, you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But we're also talking about not just the Lord's righteousness, but righteousness in character. Living and loving the way Jesus would, walking the way He wants you to walk. The Lord's righteousness as well as our own Christian character is talked about here in the breastplate of righteousness. So now we've got the belt on, the truth, and we've got protection for the heart, not only for the physical body, but also for the character. Your character needs to be strengthened in the Lord. That's why we study the Word of God together. Your conscience. You need to be saying, no, that's not what God wants from me. I know that it would be fun to go that way, but I do believe God wants me to go this way instead, and I will listen to my Father, and He'll give me the strength to do it. So you've got the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and then we read this. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Solid foundation. Good shoes. Your solid foundation is what? Jesus Christ. Being born again. And walking in accordance with the gospel. It's the idea carried here is to be able to move swiftly and aggressively with the gospel. To be able to take it forward, having it first, solid foundation, and walking on swiftly, taking the gospel. Preaching the gospel and living it is what I have written down here in mine. Preaching the gospel and living it. So having your shoes or your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's going to bring peace to those who come to Jesus. The gospel is good news. We live it and we preach it everywhere we go and everything that we do. Above all, verse 16, taking the shield of faith. Now you've got your belt on that holds it all together, the truth. Knowing the Word of God and knowing what the truth is holds all of this in place. You've got the breastplate of righteousness, which protects your body, protects your heart, thinking about the conscience also in the character that you're building in Jesus Christ. You've got your feet shod, solid foundation, able to move swiftly and decisively and aggressively with the gospel, not just preaching it, but living it at the same time. And now you're going to take the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith is so important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The shield of faith protects the entire body. The shield of faith protects your entire walk with Jesus. Simple faith. You are protected from head to foot because the shield he's talking about stood on the ground in front of you and nothing could get to you with that shield. God confidence. Do you have it? God confidence. While the whole world is trying to build in you self-confidence, the Bible clearly teaches God confidence. I can't. But He can. And so if He can, I can do all things through Him. When I'm weak, then I'm strong because I depend on Him. When I'm strong, I don't even think about it. But when I'm weak,
I look to him and say, it's all you, whatever you say. If you want us to walk out in the parking lot and stand there, then that's what we do. It's all you, whatever you say. And so it's faith. The faith, the shield of faith protects the entire body. God confidence is what we get as opposed to self-confidence. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All of the fiery darts. In one battle, a Roman soldier, after the battle was over, looks at his shield when the battle was finished and found more than 230 darts that had stuck in his shield and had been fiery and were put out. Notice that there are things that are thrown at you. The devil doesn't walk up and slap you in the face. He's not allowed to. So from a distance, hiding behind trees and rocks, throwing things at you, catching you at weak moments and say, oh, I'll get her now. Oh, here's one. This will get him. But you have faith, and faith stops those darts and puts out the fire. And they are useless. They don't work. Any trick the devil uses. So just remember that we're looking at faith as a shield. Just trust God. It sounds easy, but where the rubber meets the road, huh, is when I stand there and say, he said he would take care. He said he would do this. I remember he said so. I believe. I trust. Now, what else do we have here? And I know I'm going quickly, but so please forgive me. Grab the tape. And take the helmet of salvation. And by the way, everyone, I think, I love this. But it may not make any difference to you, but this thrills me. Listen closely. Listen to the language. The language is different here. The word in the Greek, the King James says take, but the word in our language says receive. How about that? And receive the helmet of salvation. I'll tell you what that means. When a Roman soldier got dressed, he would put on the belt and everything would hook to it, attached to it somehow. And finally, when he was ready, he would take a shield, he would have a sword, put it at his side there, and he couldn't get the helmet. Listen, don't you love this? It had to be given to him. You had to hand him his helmet, even maybe put it on him because he's not moving as well. Do you understand what's being said here? Put on the armor, and what do? You receive the helmet of salvation. What does that mean? Salvation is a free gift. You receive it. You don't go get it. You don't put it on first. It's not like it's in your hands. You receive that. God says, I will give you life. And you say, that's just what I want. I receive your love for me. I receive eternal life. It's a gift. And so you receive the helmet of salvation. What does that mean? Quickly, before we close. Assurance. 1 John. I write this unto you so that you can know that you're saved. What good are you going to be if you don't know that you're born again? You won't preach the gospel. You'll be too scared to get out there. You won't really love people. You'll be too worried about yourself. Well, maybe I'm not really saved. Maybe he doesn't love me. Maybe he won't pay my rent. Maybe I'm going to get, oh, what's going to happen to me? Instead, I can say, I've asked Jesus into my life. The helmet of salvation. My head is protected. I am assured of my salvation. When I was younger, I would get born again again. I've seen men and women many times when we have an altar call and we ask them to come forward. They come down. I say, you were here last week. I know. I just want to be sure. I've had people every week. Say, we had 20 people get saved, the same 20 for 6 weeks. What's going on? Well, they're not assured of their salvation. Read 1 John when you get some time. 5 chapters. It's real short. Read 1 John. I write this to you so that your joy may be full, that you may have joy. And I write it to you so that you'll know that you're saved. Once you have assurance, you got that helmet on, you'll go out into battle because you know where you're headed when Jesus comes back. You understand that you belong to Him. If I doubt my own, I will not be prepared to stand in the fight. I'll be too afraid. If I doubt my own, I must be assured. So receive that helmet of salvation. And now we've got some weapons here. We've got some offensive weapons. Those are defensive. And by the way, before we do this communion, and we close in just a minute here, by the way, all of this armor is so that you go forward. If you turn around, nothing protects your back. You are wide open to all the fiery darts. You are wide open to any kind of destruction. You will die. You will be destroyed. You will be overtaken and overwhelmed. You can't turn and run. And that's why he says you got to know you're saved. You have to know that it's God's strength, and you've got to stand firm on the ground you've already made. Don't go back. Don't slide back. Don't start going. Nothing protects your back. So we can move forward. And so now we have some offensive weapons. And take the helmet of salvation. And look, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He even says so. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's a sword. It's a weapon. It's offensive. We take the gospel. That's where the power is in the Word of God. And another weapon that is usually the least used in our time, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, I've had people come to me and say, Pastor Bob, I don't speak in tongues. So the Bible says I got to pray in the Spirit, but I don't have that gift. That's not what the Bible says. Praying in the Spirit is in our language, praying in the power of the Spirit and according to the will of God. That's what was being said. That's specifically what is being said here. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 says this, likewise, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we should. We don't even know what to pray for. Many cases I say, amen, and I don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We're not even talking about speaking in tongues. We're talking about you're there in prayer and you're silent, and the Spirit is making intercession for you with groanings that cannot even be spoken or uttered in any kind of language. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Walk in the power that you've been given and pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, is what we're being told. Put on the armor. Now, we could go long on this, but we're finished. Put on the armor. How do I do that? You must be born again. Everything points to Jesus. Everything shows His authority. Everything shows His power. Everything shows that His will is to be accomplished. It's all first coming to Jesus and walking with Him. Let's bow our heads together.